all our work in naming thirst, discovering its origin, awakening to the beauty of desire, and our bringing our lives into its shape is about arriving here in the last quarter of the book. It's about a new liberation. Know your thirst. Step over fear and shame. Receive God's love. Drink Him deeply. That's the gospel. That's also, to me, what it means to be a saint. Over these last recent years of my own life, reckoning with the ache within me has found itself center stage. Moving to a small town in the COVID years and slowly sinking into a quieter, slower rhythm of life helped bring a whole lot of unconscious longing to the surface of me again. It's forced me to face some old pains and fears around health, vocation, and self that I thought I'd put to rest in previous seasons. But more than all of that, it's been a time of discovering whole new dimensions of love. Not my ability to love. The opposite, in fact. What I've really come to grasp is my inability to love, and God's profound and passionate love in the face of it. A revelation that only made me long and thirst evermore. And so, amidst the quiet winters and the sparseness of small town life, I've spent my time facing the pain of my longings and owning the gap that exists between heaven and my heart, what I hope for and want in God and life, and what is my reality. I've opened myself up to God where it's liberating and where it's terrifying, and I've observed and experienced God's passion for my deeper places, for communing with me there. I've learned to unravel myself, to feel weaker, to experience love there in my vulnerability, and to slowly become more comfortable living that way. Everything that follows from here is what I've come to learn through all of it. It's about deeper drinking, a saying yes to Jesus' invitation to find soul-level hydration in the waters of Him. That's where we're going from here, beginning first with our naming and articulating this force, this gift within us we call desire. Father, awaken us now to love, to that very question that holds us in existence, your heavenly ache, that we may discover not only you, but ourselves in the liberation of hearing you say, Beloved. Amen. I had a real wrestle with this book, writing it, because I had just released Beholding 18 months before and told this kind of longer story of my becoming unwell and discovering God in chronic illness and struggle and loss. And yet simultaneously, I went into this whole new, deeper kind of woefulness. I moved to the small town just before COVID, sort of the peak when music had come back around, and lost that, and then lost all my other work, and I was just starting to get well, and everything kind of crumbled around me. And I'd wanted to learn to surf, and so I went out to surf, but every time I lay down on the surfboard without even sort of doing any moves, I'd break my ribs. And it led to me going to a doctor and finding out I've got osteoporosis, which then led to more tests, and those tests made me incredibly unwell, almost catatonic for months and months on end, and kind of kicked off a whole new 18-month, two-year period of just incredible pain and loss. And to make matters worse, this time, you know, my internal circumstances in the city had been so destitute, but yet my environment was still so stimulating, you know. There's still lots of people out and cafes and restaurants. Now what I found was that there was a desolation inside me, but there was a desolation around me too. It was immensely quiet in the small town of 1,500 people. There was no cafes to go and sit in like I used to pray. There was nowhere to go. It was just quiet. There was no people out walking at night in winter. There was no car sounds. It was just so quiet. And I found myself completely freaking out. And really in this, you know, I kept thinking to myself, I've been through this before. And I